Brum, pum, 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 pum. I met this little girly.
I'm Don Loke.
I don't know why I sound like Wolfman Jack.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
What is that voice?
I don't know. That's my Tone Loke.
That is terrible. Tone Deaf Loke, more like it.
I have a really funny Tone Loke story.
No, you don't.
I do, I swear to God. So this one, day, I was with Kareem. I was visiting LA. I didn't live here yet. And he said, do you want to go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles? What is Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles? I had no idea. It's this restaurant that serves chicken and waffles. Very famous place. Old LA restaurant.
You were such a youngin' back then, yes. Jamie.
So we go to the one on Pico. I don't know really.
That's the original one.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what the area of town is called, but
I don't know.
Anyway, so we go in and Tone Loke's in there. And he's sitting by the window and eating chicken and waffles and with a group of people.
And you recognized him?
Yeah, it was Tone Loke. This was in the mid 90s, so it hadn't been that long since Wild Thing and Funky Cold Medina ruled the charts.
Right.
They
still don't.
They ruled the charts at wedding playlists.
At charts, it's right. That bar down there.
Right. Yeah, karaoke and wedding, they're still in the top 50.
Right.
But
didn't Tone Loke, he always sounded like he had a cold.
Yeah.
That's the reason whenever he talked.
But so as we're sitting there, and the restaurant's totally packed, Tone Loke is right by the window. A goat, an actual goat, is walking in the middle of Pico Boulevard, in the middle of the street. Just a goat. No idea where it came from. Guess it wanted some chicken and waffles.
He was hungry.
And so everyone in the restaurant is staring out this window that Tone Loke is sitting at. And he doesn't notice the goat. He notices everyone looking at him.
And he thought.
And he was like, he got all upset. He's like, what? I'm trying to have some lunch. That is, I know that's a terrible Tone Loke. It sounds like Wolfman Jack.
I think that was better than my Tone
Loke. Yeah. But, and then someone was like, dude, there's a goat out there. And he's like, oh. And then he laughed. But I just thought that was funny. Tone Loke thought everyone was staring at him. They were staring at a goat.
That's funky, man.
Yeah, that's gold.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about technology, entertainment,
and random foodstuffs.
We're your hosts.
I'm Scott Gold.
I'm Jamie Dooner.
And this is episode number
54.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Bacon. This is the 24-hour informational channel on Tone Loke-related material.
All right.
I don't know why he's saying Matthew McConaughey lines from Dazed and Confused.
I don't know. See, this is what Jamie and I are recording a show at night. This is what happens. The rules are out the window. What's up is down. What's day is night. What's tone is Loke.
Tone it down.
I'm sorry. I was trying to keep it low key.
Bust a move. Oh, that's not him.
No. But it should have been. It really should have been.
You know what, though? I'm pretty sure that Young MC, don't know the guy's real name, but I'm fairly certain that he actually wrote both Wild Thing and Funky Cold Medina as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That is strange.
Yeah.
And very strange. I wonder what Tone Loke's doing these days.
I don't know.
I heard he's a tech reporter for The Verge. Him and Brian are hanging out in...
No! My favorite part about all this entire technical difficulty situation is you're screaming now.
No!
Like that terrible moment in... one of the Star Wars prequels when he... When she died, did she?
Oh,
die?
Yeah. No, it's
Darth Vader's.
It's
like,
the end when Darth Vader awakens and he's Frankenstein and he does a screaming.
Doesn't he scream no?
I believe so. Kind of hilarious. With all these technical difficulties, I lost our everything we were going to talk about.
Yeah, we'll take it by ear. We'll play it by ear.
I had all our everything up in tabs. All right. Well,
technical difficulties, Bacon.
That's the new name of the show. Oh, look at that new feature! Just found an awesome new feature on Chrome. If you quit out of your web browser and you had tabs open, you can go into the history and choose recently closed and open all the tabs that were just open.
It said restore all tabs.
Yeah, that was awesome, and it just brought up everything up that we that we had.
Pretty neat.
And the first thing that comes up, Jamie, is come on,
the God particle.
The God particle. The Higgs
boson.
Boson. I my pronunciation keeps wanting to say boson.
I want to say bosom, but that's not...
the Higgs bosom?
That has nothing to do with... That has nothing to do with...
That is the God particle.
Right. Two God particles.
Where all life comes from. Anyway. So, the claim is that the quote-unquote God particle has been discovered. And for those of you that don't know what it is,
count us among them.
No, I vaguely know what it is. There is a particle that apparently is.
It's basically like the missing link of there's sort of 11 particles to that or particle is a weird word for it because they're different. They're all sort of different
atoms
things.
And
like the Higgs boson particle is really a field. It's really a field.
Right.
It's not
kind of like a magnetic field. It's basically what draws all other particles together.
Right.
It's basically what keeps us in a solid state.
Correct. Basically. So yeah. So this was the missing link in sort of the theory of the building blocks of everything.
Of the big boom and how everything came into being, basically.
So they liken this discovery to, in biology, evolution. The discovery of evolution. Like, this is how big that is.
Right, right.
And it's basically, from what I can gather, it sort of proves that how mass and matter are connected.
Yeah. I mean, basically how the Earth stays as the Earth, how we as humans are a human.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's the field that
attracts
mass.
That attracts
and matter
mass.
Because there are other, there's like particles of light that aren't affected by this field.
Right. Correct. It's pretty fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
And they've been they've been searching for this for, what, 30 years? Something like that. They've been using these big atom smashers, these big colliders.
Yeah, the Hadron
Collider.
In Sweden?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. There was one in the U.S., in Chicago.
There was one in New Mexico, too, wasn't there?
Yeah. So the big thing about this is that there were two different research groups that came up at the same time with similar results, and they still haven't proved it because they're basically removing data in order to prove that this exists. So they haven't 100% proved it. And then actually the other day there were some scientists saying that, you know, it could, what the results that they were finding could be consistent with something else.
It proves that their theory about the building blocks of the universe is right.
Right.
And that's why they call it the bard.
The bard. The Shakespearean particle. Thou
to
don't
be.
Know particles.
Or not to be.
In existence. but fascinating. I mean, really just fascinating and a huge breakthrough. I mean, it's not like they have found this and it's something that they can do anything with yet, but it's possible that, you know, down the road, once they know what to look for and that it exists,
that we're going to be traveling
time
at
travel,
light speed.
We're going to be going into different dimensions. Beaming. Yes, beaming.
Yeah. That's true. Jetpacks. No, we'll never get jetpacks.
We were promised, Jamie. We were.
I know. There's a band. It's a good band name.
It is a good band name.
It's a good band.
So, yeah. I mean, that was, I would say, of the past long while, that was the biggest news in the in
science.
In science.
In a long time.
Since the 30 years they've been looking for it, really. So, yeah, that was going on. Another big, huge news. No, this wasn't as big. In the computer world.
Bleep, blop, blorp, blorp, bleep.
Thank you, Jamie, for that segment introduction.
You're welcome. Computer world.
The world of computers. The fabulous world of computers.
Welcome to the fabulous world of computers.
Computers. Computers. I don't know. Yeah, seriously, I don't know what's happening tonight. Jamie and I have a big meal. We come to do the podcast. It's all crazy, isn't it?
Craziness going on. Our system has been constantly failing since we started this.
Yes.
So I have mush mind.
And speaking of systems failing, there was a Trojan virus. Nice. Virus. Virus. I said virus.
Virus. I'll take your computer.
The fighting.
I'll take it for myself.
Wow.
Get your damn hands off of me, computer. You're virus.
It's the fighting virus. There was a Trojan, the DNS changer that actually it's an old Trojan that was had affected a lot of computers, PCs and Macs. You know,
well. You can never trust an old Trojan, Scott. Been sitting around for a long time. It's bound to break open and cause trouble.
I'm crying right now. I just can't. So it's called the DNS changer, and a lot of computers were infected with it a while back, a long time ago. And so the FBI or the government had set up these servers to allow computers that were infected with it continue to function. And so, you know, thousands of people were infected. They estimate that 64,000 computers in the U.S. and 300,000 worldwide were infected with this. And so I think it was Monday, the FBI shut down the servers that they had set up, these temporary servers. So everyone that was still infected lost internet connection. If you would like to know if you're infected, we'll put some links up on the website. You can run a scan. There's very easy removal tools for the PC and the Mac, and they're very simple instructions to find out if you have it and how to get rid of it. So if you've been having computer issues, blame the viruses.
You're sure that the virus.
And you can, you know, get online on a friend's computer or your phone or something to get the instructions on how to remove this
virus
DNS changer. Virus. So
just like the Brits, you want to remove. No, never mind. Never mind. That was a failure. The accent went into Scottish. I don't know what was happening.
I don't know.
The British Isles just melded together
in my brain. I don't know. It was crazy. So out here in California, there
we've got beaches and mountains. You can drive to
no place I'd rather be. Let me tell you. I love this darn city. Gosh dang it, Jamie.
You can say damn, Scott.
I know I can. I've said a lot on this podcast today, and I'm going to stop that right now. No more ums.
Okay.
None. I'm done.
It's not happening. I don't buy it.
It is not happening.
I don't think that you can do that.
You don't think I can?
I don't think you can go the rest of the podcast without another
I will.
And okay, this is a challenge to any of our listeners out there because okay. I might not catch it. But if Scott says again during this podcast and you can't edit it out,
I won't edit it.
Please alert us and we should make a bet. What do we make?
Okay, we'll make a bet. Starting after this bet.
I win. I get to call what the bet is.
No, wait a second.
$1 million from me. I win.
I just to let you know, I didn't say although I just did say it. I said no bet. I don't think I can win. So in good old sunny Santa Monica, California. Wow. I'm not even here anymore.
I'm having complete system failure. Which Santa Monica City may have on their hands with these new smart meters.
That's true. The quote unquote smart meters. Look at that. I'm already in the uzz.
You sound like Puff Daddy.
Proclamation, and I'm eyeing all over the place. Santa Monica, California. New smart parking meters. Help me, please. Jamie, weigh in. Save me.
The city of Santa Monica has introduced smart parking meters.
Thank you.
Along the street. These 6,000 new high-tech meters use ground sensors to wipe out any extra time left over after our car moves from the spot or the posted time limit expires.
Now, this is a bunch of bull... Well, now that I'm going to have to bleep out.
Good. Makes it more interesting.
This is terrible. This is... Okay, good for Santa Monica for being all high-tech. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're going to be able to... What they're predicting is you're going to be able to pay with your cell phone. You're going to be able to get sent text messages when your meter's about to run up.
That's the thing I like. You can type in your phone number or whatever, however you do it, and it'll alert you when you have 5 minutes left.
But the thing that really sucks is they're ripping off the citizens. Because if you put in, you know, let's say you pay for an hour and a half at a spot and you leave in 45 minutes, that wipes out.
It goes back to zero and it keeps your money.
Right.
That's not cool.
No. They're stealing your money.
They're stealing time.
Oh my God, the city of Santa Monica figured out how to steal time. It's like that Justin Timberlake movie.
Yeah.
That's crazy though.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not cool.
I feel like it shouldn't be, there's got to be some legality issue with that. Don't you think?
I don't know. You should. I think how it works now is fine. If you leave 25 minutes early, the person behind you should benefit from that.
Right, because you have paid for that.
You're paid for the time for that space.
You have paid for the time of that space.
And you are, at that point are saying, I am willing to give my time to the next person along.
Right, or nobody else should be able to park there until that time has been paid off.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, this is going to make the city so much more money.
I'm going to storm Santa Monica City Hall and demand my time back.
They're saying it's expected to raise as much as $1.7 million in revenue for the city.
And let me tell you, if any city needs more money, it's the city of Santa Monica.
No.
They are notorious beep beeps.
Yes.
And by that, I mean they honk a lot in Santa Monica. No. They're the only place I've ever seen where they really give jaywalking tickets.
Do they?
Yeah, they're the worst.
Really?
Yeah, they give them all the time. I understand if you jaywalk and it's a real hazard and you cause a problem, you know, maybe you should get a ticket, but they give it all the time.
Yeah.
That's why you never, when you're on the 3rd Street Promenade, if you...
Walk across... Not the 3rd Street, but the crisscrossing streets.
If you are on 3rd Street crossing Arizona or Broadway or whatever.
Don't do it.
And don't do it unless there's a walk signal because you'll get a jaywalking ticket.
Interesting.
Because they just sit there and hand out jaywalking tickets.
I mean, you know what? Also, this also benefits them because when the meters are up, they're going to be alerted. So they don't have to be roaming the streets like they do to catch someone. I mean, as soon as it's up, they're going to be alerted that the meter's up.
Do you think they'll have robot meter mates?
RoboCop. That's how RoboMaid.
RoboMaid.
RoboMaid. RoboMaid. It's
Irona from Richie Rich.
That's, no.
Richie. Oh, or Rosie from the Jetsons.
Picturing Rosie from the Jetsons giving speeding tickets. That's totally what I'm picturing in my head right now. thing.
Irona.
Too.
Remember Irona from Richie Rich?
I do. What did I remember Irona, but what did Irona look like?
Like a, she looked like a woman made of steel.
Like a full-on, like, humanoid form.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And the Jetsons like, one was like
sort of like the toaster. Metropolis robot with an orange wig on and a French maid uniform.
Right. Right.
That sounds hot.
So, yay, go City of Santa Monica. Thanks for screwing us all.
I like the texting thing. I don't like the stealing my time. That is not cool.
That's not cool.
Not cool.
I don't understand. I mean, I understand the rationale because they want to make money by screwing over the citizens of Santa Monica. But,
well, it should be. I mean, if they're going to do that thing, they need to have some sort of system where you're putting money into a,
or you have an account.
You have an account, and then it, you know, just charges you for the time you use.
Yeah, I mean, that's
otherwise
another,
it's not fair.
Like they could easily do that. They could easily.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Not
if
charge
this
you
ends
until
up
you leave
in some sort of lawsuit.
Yeah. Yeah, that they owe you money. Wow, man. There are so many weird things happening right now.
You know, we just heard a ringing ding bell thing, and I'm not sure if that was...
I don't know where that came from.
Was that? I don't know if people heard that.
I don't know if they did either.
If you guys out there in the audience heard that, but
where,
it was like...
Where was that even from?
I don't know. Do you secretly have like a hotel front desk in this apartment, Scat?
Jamie, I don't know what is happening. I honestly don't know what happened. And also, can I tell you, I don't know what's going on with our recording here because it looks different. Everything is all messed up.
I don't know.
It's very weird.
It's the God particle.
It's coming back to haunt us. Wow. All right. We're moving on to something completely serious. So let's get serious here for a second, Jamie.
Nay.
Come on. Let's get serious. We can talk about this very serious technical problem that is happening.
Okay.
Can't even keep a straight face. They are cloning horses, Jamie. They are cloning horses.
Why are they cloning horses?
Because they want the like thoroughbreds. Like instead of breeding horses, they are now cloning horses. And it was just ruled by the International Governing Body for Equestrian Sports that cloned horses.
Oh, the IGBES.
Right. You're one of the members, aren't you? You get the newsletter, the sticker on your car. They've ruled that cloned horses can beat in international events, including the Olympics.
That's not fair. Horses are faster than humans.
I don't understand. I got it.
What,
got
you mean
it.
Horses can compete? No, I understand that there are equestrian events at the Olympics. I'm not.
Yes. So,
but yeah, that's weird.
That's weird. Where does this lead? Where does this lead?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they did say that there will be no cloned animals in this year's Olympics.
I know what it leads to. Synchronized swimming cheating. Can you imagine just like an entire synchronized swimming team of clones?
Wow. That would be really weird.
Yeah.
Any synchronized like sport.
Diving. Isn't there synchronized
skating,
diving?
Ice skating.
Isn't there like two people diving at once?
Yeah, 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 there is. Have you ever watched that?
Yeah, I think
fascinating.
So. Yeah.
Like especially when they are dead in sync.
Uh-huh.
It feels like you're watching a clone.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know how I feel about this. It's weird. I don't like it. I don't like things that are cloned, and I don't think I like, you know, maybe it's just like growing up reading science fiction stories and seeing movies about clones and it never turns out well.
True.
But it's not like the athletes themselves are cloned or are cheating in any way, right? It's about the equipment, really. I mean, you know, it's weird to call a horse equipment.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like you know, having a bicycle that is
souped up.
Yeah.
I guess. Or cloned.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird. It's strange.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine this in the horse races. Like just
go or on Mr. Ed.
Well,
be
then they Mr. should Ed's. Be.
If they could clone Mr. Ed, there would be talking horses everywhere. I'm totally behind that,
dude. They got it wrong. It's not like Planet of the Apes where the apes take over. It's the horses, and it starts with this
equestrian.
Oh boy, what a world
no,
we live in.
The equestrians are the people that ride the horses.
Yes,
the equines are the horses themselves.
This is true.
Planet of the Equus.
The equines. Speaking of a future world.
That horses have been cloned and they are possibly going to be used in international sporting events. Oh, wait. Man, did I just clone that story?
Oh, wow.
Send in the clones.
What is happening?
I don't know.
What is happening? I really don't know. Interesting news in this is a this is a hybrid story. I seriously can't.
Between this is like
technology
a mule.
And entertainment.
This is a mule, like a mule.
Yes,
mule is a hybrid, right? A mule is a horse and a donkey mixed together.
Is it?
I believe so.
But naturally conceived.
Mules can't breed.
Right. What?
Yeah.
Oh, mules can't breed.
Right.
But mules are created
when a horse
and a donkey,
and a donkey
get frisky.
Do it.
Got it. So it's natural.
It is natural.
It is not genetically created.
Yes.
I mean, well. In a lab.
Well, yeah, right.
It is genetically created.
And the horse is hoo-ha.
A horse is a horse.
Of course.
Except when it's
a half mule. There's like zonkies. There's half zebra, half zonkies. Zonkies. Half zonkies. Half donkeys. Those will really exist. A liger really exists.
Wait,
lions and tigers.
A liger?
A lion and a tiger. Didn't you see Napoleon Dynamite?
That's not real.
That is real, I swear. Look it up on the internet right now.
I'm not looking it up. I believe
Scott
you.
Gold,
I
look up
you.
Ligers on the internet.
I believe you. Oh my God. Am I really going to look up ligers on
yeah.
the internet?
Look up zonkies. Look up ligers.
These are not real words.
They are. Remember that cartoon when we were kids about...
Ligers and bears. Oh my God. Ligers are real.
Oh my God. Ligers are real.
That's insane. Wow. What was the other one that I was looking
Zonky.
At? Zonkies and ligers and bears. Oh my. Okay. Zonkies. I spelled it wrong. Oh my God.
Look at that. I don't know why it's so funny.
The picture is basically
yeah.
of it looks like a mule with with striped legs.
It's not really that funny.
It looks like he's wearing stockings. Stockings.
Stockings. There's a hybrid. You made that up right now. Have socks. Have stockings.
Wow. The hybrid's wearing.
And
hybrid.
They're clones because there's two of them.
Wow. I need to get rid of this picture.
We're going to put up a picture of a zonkey.
Oh, we are. Oh, yeah. Zonkey is...
Zonkey also would be a good name for a drink.
It would. You know, I think a zonkey would be a great logo for... a new logo for Tech Bacon. It would be a zonkey. The zonkey. That would be a great drink.
I don't know what would be in a zonkey.
I don't know, but it would be some sort of hybrid. sorry. Oh, all right, we're going to reel it in. We're going to reel it in, Jamie. We're reeling it in.
We're reining it in. I don't know what noise a zebra makes.
That.
Does it make like a, is it like,
it's
a,
like
horse
a horse
noise?
Yeah.
Are you
yeah.
sure?
Yeah.
Have you heard one?
I have.
Where did you hear a zebra make a noise?
Some
in the
Discovery
zoo?
Channel documentary.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They do. They sound like horses. And the reason I remember that is because I remember thinking, oh, they sound like horses when I was watching it. In the world of technology and television,
uh-huh.
there is a new web series that's starting. See,
uh-huh.
see what I did there? I brought us back. I grounded us. A web series called H+ that Bryan Singer, the mastermind behind the X-Men movies.
Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects. House on television. Is doing this new very, looks pretty high budget web series that's going to premiere on YouTube the first week in August.
Yeah.
And it's called H+. And it's basically, it's about this, a future where people get implants into their brains to connect to the internet. And they look at things similar to like what Google Glass looks like, funny enough.
Right.
And eventually a virus wipes out this implant and kills everybody that has it. And so the series looks really interesting. I think
it looks like a high budget. The lead actor looks just like Bryan Singer, by the way, which is kind of weird.
It looks like, you know what it looks like? It looks like a high budget sci-fi channel show.
Yeah.
You know, in a good way, you know, like the 4400 or something like that.
Right.
What's interesting is I was reading more about the show.
How long are the episodes going to be? Do you know?
They didn't say, so I'm not sure. And they also said that they're going to be, it's going to be kind of doing a Lost thing where it's going back and forth from the present to the future.
Okay.
So it'll, you'll be seeing this post-apocalyptic world where all these people are dead, and then it'll be flashing back to how it happened.
Okay.
You know, so it's going to, you know, it's going to be that constant back and forth and mystery.
Yeah.
You know, that, that we're going to see. I think it's really interesting. This seems to be one of the first, like, major big budget web shows.
Yeah.
From what I can recall. Like, I was trying to think of anything else that's been similar. I mean, this is Bryan Singer. This is Warner Brothers that is doing this. And
I feel like every once in a while there's something like this.
But this just seems even bigger.
It seems pretty epic in scope.
That's what I mean.
But I'm curious how long the episodes are. That's
yeah, me too.
What will make a difference? If they're long and people watch it, then that's something. You know, if they're 20 minutes.
It's a game changer.
Yeah. But if they're, like, most web series now are like 6-7 minutes long episodes are.
Right. I wonder.
By the way, there's a great one on Yahoo called Burning Love.
Yes.
It's a Bachelor
comedy.
Yeah. Like, it makes fun of The Bachelor, stars Ken Marino.
How long is it?
It's like 7 minutes.
See, you know what's interesting for this show is I feel if they did it in long form, you know, 20 minutes or an hour. I don't think they would do an hour, but, you know, say 22 minutes.
Right.
There are so many TVs now that have YouTube.
Yeah.
That might be a way that they're delivering it to people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious. If something like this is long form and it's successful, it changes television.
That is true.
It completely changes television. So we'll see if that happens. It's August 8th, I believe it premieres on YouTube. Yeah, on YouTube. So wherever YouTube is brought to you on your phone, your tablet, we will be on the lookout for it. Interesting. There might be some more info about this coming from Comic-Con this week because Comic-Con's going on and we're nowhere near it.
Has it started already?
Tomorrow, maybe?
Oh, it's this weekend.
It is this week. It's this weekend.
Last week with a holiday messed me up.
Yeah, and we're recording a podcast and it's not a weekend.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's dark out. You're going to expect to walk outside and go
there's zonkies and ligers.
And bears. Oh, my. what would be a bear combo? I don't even want. You know, we're not getting into this conversation. We're not getting
like, I like a bear and a bison. A bearson.
A bear. That's more like a bear and a person. Like a bear.
Oh, yeah. That does sound like that. Or a buyer. No, that's what I am as a consumer.
But what's similar to a bear in the wild? Nothing.
There's nothing. There ain't nothing like a bear. I don't know.
Nothing in the world.
Is there anything else like a bear? A panda is not technically a bear.
Oh. But a panda and a bear would be a panda bear.
Right. A panda.
We're not going into this. This is not. We're done. We've moved on.
What about an elephant and a bear? A bear-elephant.
An ella-bear?
Ella-bear. That's...
It's barely there.
What would you get if you crossed an elephant and a rhinoceros?
What?
Elephino.
Ba-dum-bum. All right. Into the world of entertainment.
We were just in the world of entertainment, though.
No, but now we're in, like, that was a hybrid.
I see.
That crossed over. Now
that was a zonky.
That was a zonky of
We went from the zebra of technology to the zonky, and now the donkey.
And now we're
of
in the donkey, which we will start off in the world of film. Yeah. Film. Good. Film? You saw a movie. I saw a
you
movie.
Saw, tell us about the movie you saw.
Well, I saw Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Well, should we talk about Comic-Con Spider-Man. Before we All right, do a movie?
Should, to, like, yeah, I mean, I guess we should talk about Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You excited about Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like hearing about... You know what? I would never want to go to Comic-Con unless I had something there to show or to sell or to, you know, comment on. I don't think I would want to be there. I would want to observe. Yeah, I guess
the phenomenon.
But it just seems like so crowded, and it seems like really kind of.
I feel bad for the actual like comic book people.
My friend Yehudi.
Right. Oh, well,
he's going to be at Comic-Con this year.
Will he have a stand?
He wrote a children's book that is being published by Arkea, which is a pretty big publishing company, and he's going to be at the booth for, you know, three or four times throughout the
Oh, that's cool.
The thing signing promotional materials. The book isn't out yet, but
looks like the big things that people are excited about, there is, you know, maybe an Iron Man 3 preview of some sort, The Hobbit.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That some TV stuff, you know, that Revolution show that we talked about has a panel.
Yeah.
That Favreau show that we, that's going to be on good. NBC. Yeah. I don't know. I wonder, like last year was the Avengers. Last year, they showed footage from the Avengers. They had the whole Avengers team on the panel.
We're gonna hear about stuff that we don't know about right now, and we'll get excited about it.
You think there's going to be something we're not even like...
Or even like, you know, people are going to see a scene from The Hobbit, and they're going to, you know, poop their pants. They're going to Bilbo their Baggins.
I don't even know. I have no response to Bilbo.
And Bilbo it's going to be the opposite of how people were at, what was the cinema?
Expo. Yeah.
Where everyone was all freaking out because of...
I wonder if they're going to even show footage from it in 3D in the 48 frames per second. Because, like, the way Peter Jackson talked about it, it's you have to really be in it for 20 minutes before you kind of are get acclimated to it. Yeah.
Maybe it's just a way of making 3D bright.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
3D is so dark.
That's why I really like to see, if I'm seeing 3D, I like to see it in the IMAX theaters because the projectors are a lot brighter.
Yeah.
And thus the image is better and clearer.
Speaking of IMAX projectors, did you read about the Batman press screening?
No.
So Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, is that what it's called? Dark Knight Rises, I think that's what it's called. had its press screening. We're not really Comic-Con people. We would know that name
in
an instant if we were.
Or horrible.
I am excited about that movie.
I am very excited about that movie.
But during the press screening, the first press screening... with all the top people, the projector failed an hour into the movie, the IMAX projector.
Oh, wow.
And so they had to, and they couldn't reboot it. They had to ask everyone to come back the next day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Well, I'm sure as the week continues, there will be more interesting things from the
talk about Comic-Con. Maybe we'll get some inside info from Yehudi.
That would be great. That'd be very cool. We can know what it's all about. I also, one of my coworkers is heading out there for the weekend or for the week and weekend, braving the crowds.
I would like to go and watch people walk in.
Yeah. I mean, if I wasn't trying to go into any panels or anything like that and having to wait in line for 4 hours.
That's what I wouldn't go to a panel. That doesn't sound like fun to me.
But that's where all the cool stuff gets released, all the trailers.
Yeah, but it's like you're waiting in line
for a
trailer.
If I had VIP access to the
entire thing. If I could just go in and go and watch the trailer and it took 5 minutes of my time, yeah, I would do that. But yeah. I didn't, you know... Did I wait in line to see the Star Wars trailer, The Phantom Menace?
In front of...
Meet Joe Black is what I saw it in front of.
As did I, and I saw Meet Joe Black.
And also Adam Sandler movie about the Waterboy was also in front of that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Really?
Because I saw that too. Huh. But I didn't know it was going to be in front of that, but it was like the same weekend.
I see.
Anyway, that doesn't matter. We are nerds. Look at that. We are nerds.
Yeah, Scott. So hey, there you go.
So,
Yeah, so there's that. Now,
but yeah, I mean, I just the concept of waiting in line for a panel for something that I haven't seen yet. Like, I would love to hear people talk about something I know and love. You know, I would go and see it in a Raiders of the Lost Ark panel or something. Well, which is now called Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't know if you noticed.
Wait, what?
So yeah, that when they re-released, or when they released it as a collection, I think, they retitled the first one Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, that blows.
But if you know, if you saw Ted, right?
Yeah.
So in the movie Ted, there's a poster in the background, and it's a Raiders poster from the first one, and it says Indiana Jones.
And the Raiders of the Lost?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was a... But that was in his kid's room. Like, when he was a kid, it was in his room.
So, I mean, that wasn't the name of it when he was that age.
Right, right.
I just thought that was funny.
Are you sure it didn't say Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I mean, maybe, but I don't...
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, no. They retitled. I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, having a poster back then.
Oh, I don't know. It was in the background, but you could see Indiana Jones written really large.
Right? Huh. Very interesting. Very interesting and very upsetting.
Yeah. No good.
No bueno. So Comic-Con, it's happening. We'll let you know if there's any more info. We were talking about Spider-Man.
Okay, so Spider-Man. You saw Spider-Man.
So there's this guy, right? And he gets spit by a spider.
Wait. He gets bit by a spider?
I'm telling you.
That's the craziest movie I ever heard.
And he turns into a man that is a spider. A Spider-Man.
What? Now, how is a man a spider? Does he got eight legs?
No, he doesn't have eight legs.
Does he got like 100 eyes?
No, he doesn't have 100 eyes.
Does he eat and kill flies?
Yet to be determined. So, all right, reboot of Spider-Man. The Sam Raimi Spider-Man came out, what, 10 years ago?
Like 2002? six months ago?
The first one was like 10 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
You know. So,
and there were two
subsequent, and the last one was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It wasn't that long. So they decided to reboot the whole thing. Mark Webb, who did 500 Days of Summer, directed this.
Natural fit for a superhero movie.
I know, a little weird. But he did a great job. I mean, it was really...
I'm sure. I mean, you know.
The movie was, like, it was a nice take on it. The way it was more of a little more serious, darker kind of take.
From what I've read, he also, like, builds his web shooters or something. He doesn't shoot a web.
Right. He builds them, like, in the comic.
Right.
In the comic book, he builds the web sling, the shooters. And
in the original?
In the original. The Sam Raimi movie changed it.
But no, there were comic books where he didn't have, where he had.
Yeah, but that wasn't.
It was like different versions. Like, yeah. There's been a million different versions.
Yeah, but the original Spider-Man, and still to this day, like the main Spider-Man uses the cartridges.
Oh, I didn't know that.
For the web slingers, yes. And so they did that. They added this little mystery of who his father, who is Peter Parker's parents, like that, which has never really been brought up in the comics, I guess. And he was great. Andrew Garfield was perfect as Spider-Man.
Wait, Garfield as Spider-Man?
Yes, Garfield as Spider-Man.
Did he eat a lot of lasagna?
You know, that's so funny. The whole movie.
Did he hate Mondays?
Now that you mention it, you're drawing some very interesting parallels. So he was great. Martin Sheen played Uncle Ben. That was fun. And Sally Field was Aunt May. And that was cool. My biggest problem with it was
that there was just a Spider-Man movie out 4 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much. I was kind of bored the whole first half because it's an origin story again.
Have you seen it?
I was like, oh, when's he going to get bit by the spider? Oh, when's Uncle Ben going to die?
Oh, when's he going to figure out how to do this? When's the Zonky arrive?
Right. I mean, once
they got Spider-Man rode a Zonky.
Dude, a Zonky could be its own superhero. Why does the Zonky need to be ridden?
Zon Quixote.
To dream the impossible. I don't know what to do. Tonight is just special. And I'm going to have to cut this together in the weirdest way.
Much like a Zonky comes together in an unnatural manner, this show will be pieced together.
It's like the Frankensteins of Tech Bacon. Going on here.
So you saw a very cool movie.
I saw a really good, great movie called Beasts of the Southern Wild. Really hard movie to describe. I don't. So that's, I'm not going to describe it. No.
Indie movie.
Indie movie about a little girl, 5 years old. The actress's name is, I can't pronounce it. But amazing. One of the greatest performances I've ever seen from a child. I mean, just great.
Really?
And she lives in this sort of community that's it never says that it's New Orleans, but it's sort of like alluded to. It feels
New Orleans-ish.
Yeah, it's on the lake side of the levee.
Okay.
So it's like sort of these houses that, you know, are built for water rising, you know.
Got it.
And it's just all sort of about her and her father, and a big storm comes, but it's very imaginative. Like there's these monsters, and it's all sort of in her head. It's hard to describe, but it's really, really good. It's, you know, it's a little arty, but not like off-putting.
Which film festival was it?
It won the audience award at the Sundance Festival, and it won the Palme d'Or, the Camera d'Or.
I don't know.
At Cannes, which is the best first feature.
Oh, okay, got it.
I think Camera d'Or.
Wow.
And
limited release. It's in limited release.
Yeah,
now.
I think it was New York and L.A. last week, and I think this week it's San Francisco, Chicago.
Releasing around the country.
I mean, if this movie's not around at Oscar time, then something's wrong with people. Music was great.
Just
beautiful performances. Just a special movie. I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like it.
And you said the director composed the score too, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I might be overselling it. There are people out there that didn't like it, but I was very moved by it. It's a sad movie. I mean, it's beautiful and inspiring and sad and all sorts of different things.
Swirling up emotions.
And it's also just super inventive. It has this sort of docu style, but it's also almost like a Terry Gilliam movie, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard, really hard to describe, but I was really affected by it. It's one of those movies that, I get pretty jaded by movies. I see a lot of them, and a lot of them are bad or boring or right. Just sort of like the same old.
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, as great, I want to see Spider-Man,
it was fun
but
and
like
enjoyable, but yeah.
I don't know. How many times can you see the same thing, you know? But this was not that at all. And I walked out, you know, going, oh, I love movies, you know, one of those.
Cool. Cool. So Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Go see it.
Check it out. In the music world, just I think briefly, we Jamie and I listened to the new single released by The Killers. They have a new album coming out fall, I think, beginning of the fall, maybe end of the summer, something like that. The single is called Runaway or Runaways. And
what you think, Scott?
Well, you beat me to it. I was going to be like, thoughts, Jamie D? Well,
you're wrong. I think. No, go ahead.
Parts of it sounded like a Killers song.
I think it all sounded like a killer song.
Well, except it was strange to call it a song. It was music.
No, I think it was a structured song. What I would say,
there wasn't much of a chorus.
But it was weird.
There was a chorus.
It felt like to me. Yeah, it's odd. I'm not saying that I like it or dislike it. I've only heard it once, but it felt like to me all of the Killers, like, sort of influences in one song.
Yeah.
So there's definitely...
Did you hear, like, a Tom Petty in there?
I didn't hear that. I heard Bruce Springsteen, for
definitely
sure.
Definitely Springsteen.
Because like, it's all about two kids running away from town or whatever.
Hands down, Springsteen.
And they're huge Springsteen influence. I heard, like, the synth 80s thing that was on their first album a little bit.
Right, they always kind of have that.
Some edge guitar in there, some U2 influence.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Just a little jangly guitar there. I heard, and then there was also like Asia,
or something. Yeah. Very, this weird 80s, like
really strange.
Like 80s Yes or Asia. Yeah, totally. That's what it sounded like to me. I was like, this is weird. Maybe people are ready for this again. I don't know.
Yeah, it felt a little, you know what it felt like? Did you ever hear that kind of B-sides album, Sam's Town, that they came out with?
Probably.
It felt like something off of that, which I didn't like at all. It was like an off song for some reason. I don't know. I'd like to give it some more listens.
I didn't dislike it as much as I kind of expected not to like it.
Do you not like The Killers?
No, I like The Killers fine, but I also haven't been blown away by... I really like their first album, and it's all kind of like slowly gone downhill for me. The great live act,
you know. You had two albums, right?
No, there's been three, hasn't there?
Well, that second one was that Sam's Town B-sides album.
I don't think I think there's been three proper albums.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. That's something you could check.
We'll have to look it up.
I don't know. I liked the first one the best, and I like them live, but it's still like, I don't really listen to it on my own.
The structure of the song, I just felt was very weird.
It was almost like a Muse song.
Yes. You know what? It totally did remind me of that. That's a very, very, very good thought there. Muse, huh? All right. I'm looking up the albums of The Killers. We have Hot Fuss, Sam's Town, which is the one I was talking about, and Day and Age. So those are the...
Are you sure Sam's Town was all B-sides?
I am pretty sure. I feel like
that was a proper album.
Well, if it was, it is a awful album. And everything about it is terrible. No, I mean, you know what? It could have been a full album. Maybe it was a full album. I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. I did not like that album.
Scott Gold did not like Sam's Town by The Killers. Isn't Sam's Town the name of a casino way out in...
Although, I take it back, there were a couple of good songs off Sam's Town, but not a lot. Because that was when you were young, was on that. So, I like that song. So, on to... so much strangeness here today. On to food. Maybe this is why it's so strange, because we had this big meal.
We should have had a drink. That would have made us smoother.
I don't even know. Yeah, maybe it would have taken us down a notch. So Jamie and I went to a new restaurant out here in Los Angeles called...
Plan Check.
Burger joint, basically. Not really just a burger joint, but... burger
One
sandwiches
of the chefs from Umami felt very Umami-esque.
Yes, it felt very Umami-esque. So, I had
a turkey burger with green chili with pig candy and ketchup leather.
So, might we expand on those two items?
Pig candy is sort of
just bacon.
It's bacon, but it's like a sweet, like a maple, brown sugar kind of bacon.
Yeah. It's really good.
Very good. Very
really,
delicious.
Really.
The green chili, by the way.
Tech bacon approved, by the way.
Yeah. The green chili was really good. It was spicy. It was fruity and spicy. Really good.
Ketchup leather.
Ketchup leather.
Let's discuss ketchup leather.
Ketchup leather, it's like fruit roll-up ketchup. So it's this like...
It looks exactly like a fruit roll-up.
And the whole idea behind this was that the chef hated getting burgers like that had been sitting there for a second.
And
the sauce made the bun...
Soggy.
He likes a crunchy bun. put your own joke in there. And so he sort of made this fruit roll-up ketchup. Now, the interesting thing about this is, I mean, I tried just a piece of it, and it tasted like ketchup.
Oh, you tried it by itself?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then if you put it on the burger, what happens when you bite in, the juices from the burger, like the heat of the juice from the burger, sort of melts it back into liquid.
So it just
tastes like fresh ketchup.
cool concept.
Yeah, it was neat.
I like that as a concept. I think it's really, it's somewhat futuristic mm-hmm. and a little bit, you know, just, we saw them, we were sitting at the counter and we saw them cooking all the food and.
Coming soon, mustard leather, mayo leather, Thousand Island leather.
And actually just beef leather. So
leather, just leather.
Just leather, really. It turns into a burger as soon as you put it on the bun. It's really magical. So I had a pastrami sandwich with this house-made, thick-cut, amazingly tender pastrami, and had it was like on a bun with cheese and then a fried egg on top,
which was totally necessary.
Completely. It was incredible. It was incredible. The pastrami was not like the regular like deli sliced pastrami that you normally get. It's like these chunks of pastrami melted in your mouth, you know, with the cheese and the egg topping. Everything just created this really rich and I just like it was a perfect combination of flavors and textures. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really something you could pick up and eat like a sandwich. You had to cut into it. And there was this mustard. It was a certain kind of mustard that I
made. It was kimchi mustard.
Kimchi mustard that was a perfect complement to it. Really well done sandwich. I was savoring every bite. And then we got some drinks. You got a house-made lemonade.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, and I had a house-made vanilla cream soda, which was also it was a little bland. It kind of tasted like soda water with like a hint of vanilla for mm-hmm. me, which was whatever. But I did like they have very large ice cubes in the glasses, so they don't melt
this,
as fast.
This is really, the whole soda part of this conversation is really dull. And you know, they had a straw,
let me tell you,
that didn't bend to exactly 45 degrees, so it made it difficult to drink out of.
But they also, we got a side of waffle cut sweet potato fries.
Why are you pointing at me?
With waffle cut sweet potato fries with a peach
like sauce, like a ketchup,
like a peach.
It was kind of like jelly.
Peach-up.
A hybrid of peach and ketchup. The zonky
of ketchups.
Of fruit ketchups.
Of condiments. The zonky of condiments.
You know, I had really delicious blackberry barbecue sauce on Ooh. Sweet potato fries the other day.
Nice. Where was that?
That was at the that music festival I went to this past weekend, the Hootenanny.
The Hootenanny.
Yeah.
Hootenanny. Yeah. Whoop. I don't know. I don't know. Now, another... So that was a great meal. I will definitely be going back.
Yeah.
This last weekend, I also had the opportunity to have another amazing... chef-prepared meal. Mm-hmm. There's this restaurant out here called El Grano, and it was my girlfriend's friend's birthday, and her husband hosted a party at this place. The husband and wife who were hosting the dinner, they went to college with the chef of the restaurant, so we had a private room in back, and you know, we had a tasting menu. Pretty amazing food.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing food. Very... modern Italian food, I would say. So
like modern Italian furniture, but food.
Right, exactly. the meal started out with crudo, which is basically sushimi, Italian sushimi. And what I found out was that the owner and chef of the restaurant met a sushi chef from one of the restaurants down the road, and they made an agreement that the sushi chef would teach him about picking the best fish at the fish market, and he would teach the sushi chef how to pick the best vegetables and ripe vegetables for the food. So they kind of had this partnership and taught each other how to shop for the high quality ingredients.
That's cool. Do you know what the sushi restaurant was?
I cannot remember, but it is over in West Los Angeles, kind of right near this place, El Grano. But I can't remember what it's called.
Huh.
So the crudo, and it was the crudo was really cool. There was like a yellowtail and believe maybe an eel. I can't remember the exact fish, but it was very elegantly prepared, and so it was like little pieces of
sashimi.
And then little sauces next to them, and they complemented the colors. So there was like a white fish with like this black squid, you know, and then like some sort of yellow paste. And it was very beautiful and well presented.
Uh-huh.
And tasted great. One of the other, so there was calamari, which was great. One of the highlights for me was this burrata filled candy wrap style ravioli with basil and fresh tomatoes.
Sounds good.
It was great. And by candy wrap, it was ravioli, but it looked like
you know, a saltwater taffy.
Yeah, like a saltwater taffy. You ever had a taffy?
No, but that's when someone says candy wrapped, that's what you think of.
Yeah, and the burrata cheese inside, incredible. And super fresh tomatoes. And I guess he grows his own tomatoes. And all through the next few months at the restaurant on Wednesdays, they're going to have like Tomato Wednesday, where they just do different takes on tomato dishes.
They throw tomatoes at you?
You walk in the door and boom, right in the face. Smack, right in the kisser. and then also they ended with this July Lady yellow peach cake and well done cake.
What does that mean, July Lady?
July, I don't know.
Were you about to do with like a Neil Diamond dish?
Something, yeah. There was something going on there. I just didn't have it.
Go for it, Scott. Come on, let's hear your July Lady.
Actually, it was almost more of an Elton John, you know.
Oh, you were doing Tiny Dancer.
Yeah, it was going to go into a Tiny Dancer.
Right. Okay.
So the cake was almost like an angel food cake, but a little denser, with this very fresh peach filling.
More of a devil's food cake, or was a hybrid angel's food cake?
Isn't devil's food cake chocolate?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think. Angel food cake's white, devil's food cake's
but
chocolate.
Is devil's food cake like as airy as angel's food cake is? Angel food cake?
No.
An angel food cake.
It was just like
devil's food cake. The devil owns the cake. It's the devil's food. Angel food.
It's just food sort of like angels.
Yeah, it's a little more.
It's light and fluffy.
Not quite as possessed.
So it was a good cake. No. No, it was a good cake. And if you live in the Los Angeles area, I really would recommend this restaurant, El Grano. The chef, super nice guy. And really, I just like that you can tell his base is in very traditional Italian food,
mm-hmm.
but he still likes to play and have fun with the dishes.
Yeah, I really like that he and that sushi chef sort of like...
have the collaboration.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
It's like a hybrid of...
Sushalian.
Italianese.
Italianese.
Japanese and Italian.
Sure. You know what? Great. I think we're wrapping it up
here.
They
should open a restaurant together and call it
Italianese.
No.
No. What? What?
Zonky.
On that note, thank you for listening. If you stayed with us this whole show, God help you. I don't know how we stayed through this whole show. Check us out online. I'm not even going to go through the whole spiel. We just got to finish this up because it's just too much craziness.
Zonkey twitter.com
hashtag Zonkey. If you like the show, hashtag Zonkey and tag Jamie and I at ScottyG7.
BSTRDMONKEY
hashtag Zonkey. Thanks for listening.